Our guest today is Dr. Marilyn Kaiser, who has just retired from her position as Chancellor's Professor of Music at Jacobs School of Music, Indiana University, Bloomington, where she taught courses in sacred music and applied organ for 25 years. Dr. Kaiser is in constant demand as an organ recitalist and workshop leader, and we were honored to have her as our guest today here on Crossover. She will be performing in concert on the Kimmel Center's organ on November 5th. Welcome to Crossover, Dr. Marilyn Kaiser.
Thank you.
You are going to be playing at the Kimmel Center on November 5th, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And I'd like to find out a little bit about you and your background and so on. When did you start to study the organ?
Well, I started studying the organ when I was 12 years old. I started piano when I was 4 because my brother was playing the piano, and I was trying to play the pieces that he was playing. So my parents started me on piano at 4, and then when I was 12, I had played a little spinet organ in Miami, Florida, where my uncle and aunt were living, and I was so thrilled by that, and so I started taking organ when I was 12 and in the seventh grade. So I've been playing a long time.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of organ, and I always ask organists, you know, that's really quite an instrument to have in the house, at least. I mean,
I didn't have one in my house, actually. I went to the church, and so I first practiced at the music store, and then later on when I became a little more proficient, I started taking lessons on a pipe organ in one of the churches in Springfield, Illinois, where I grew up. And so that's where I practiced. But it takes a lot of physical coordination to play the organ, and I was always so grateful that I learned it as a child, learned how to coordinate my hands and feet, because it's difficult for people who come to the organ later in life.
Well, I would think so. I'm a harpist, and I know what it is to have 7 pedals to coordinate.
Yeah. So
it's a lot different. So now tell us a little bit about, I mean, what was the inspiration? Did you just love the instrument, or did you love the music that you play on the instrument? How does, you know, it's a decision to make.
Well, I think I love the instrument. I love the music as well, but every organ is different. And for me, part of what I try to do when I go and play an instrument is to find really beautiful sounds on that organ. It takes a long time to set up an organ because just every flute stop, every principal sound, every string sound is different on every instrument.
So the registration, I guess, yeah.
Registration is always a challenge. But I just loved the sound of the organ, and I remember as a teenager riding my bicycle to the church and practicing 2 or 3 hours every day. I just loved it so much. I loved the sound.
You actually decided to become a professional when you studied at Union. I mean, that was a conservatory basically level. So.
Right.
What are the opportunities other than really liturgical ones? I mean, there's concert organ, but I think that essentially in order to make a living, you have to be connected on some level, don't you, with a house of worship.
Yes. And I did continue to play in churches and synagogues. I played at a Jewish synagogue when I was in high school in Springfield, Illinois, which I enjoyed enormously also. But I was always in a church, but also doing some teaching at the University of North Carolina in Asheville and Brevard College. And then here in Bloomington at Indiana University, I taught organ and sacred music for 25 years on the faculty at IU.
You're still there, is that right?
Well, I'm emeritus. I'm still serving on some doctoral committees, but I actually retired from full-time teaching 3 years ago.
So that's why we're going to see you in Philadelphia, I guess.
Right.
So you're tell us a little bit about how you chose this music.
I always try and choose music that will bring out some of the particular characteristics on any given organ. And I'm playing, for example, the Phoenix Processional of Dan Locklear at the beginning of the program, because the organ there has a wonderful trumpet, several large trumpet stops that will sound wonderful, I'm sure, in the Kimmel Center. And I'm playing a piece by Joseph Rheinberger,
one of the great ones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful composer, a fantastic Pasakaya from the Eighth Sonata. And that shows off many of the colors on the organ. It's just a fantastic, colorful, and exciting work. And I'm playing some American music. I'm playing a piece by Stephen Paulus.
Yes.
Inspired by Michael Barone. It's called it's from the Baronian Suite, and it was premiered at the Minneapolis Convention of the American Guild of Organists. It's a piece called Blithely Breezing Along. So I chose
and
that.
And are you?
it is. It's a great piece. It's really, really, really fun to play also. And then another work of Dan Locklear called In Mystery and Wonder, which was written for the Cassavant Organ Company's 125th anniversary. I like to also perform music of our day, and I do that really, I guess, on every concert I play. I always try to have some music that that is
contemporary,
written by living composers. I think that's really important to keep.
Is there a lot being done?
Well, yes, in other countries beside America. Dan Locklear and Stephen Paulus certainly are two of the most important composers, I think, writing today. Dan is is in Winston-Salem. He's composer in residence at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, and Stephen Paulus is in Minneapolis. And so it's, I enjoy bringing that music to life.
So now here you're going to come and play on the organ in the Kimmel Center. So how much time do you have to give yourself to get accustomed to the instrument?
Well, they allow 12 hours of practice. Usually when I play on a big organ, I try to have a minimum of 12 hours. Sometimes I work as much as 16 or 18 hours on an organ of that size before I play it. But I will have 12 hours, and so when I approach a new organ, a new instrument, I always play through some of the families of stops, the flute stops, for example, and listen to the flutes on each keyboard or each manual, and listen to the foundation stops of the organ, how they blend, so that as I begin to put my registrations into the memory system, I can do that as rapidly as possible, and then I get the program set, and then I go through and refine it
as
I get to know the organ better.
What happens, is the computer involved in any of the newer organs at all? Is there any kind of computer involvement? I mean,
well, there's a solid state memory system in the organs, which makes it much easier today to to set up and save registrations. When I first started playing concerts, I would have to change. Well, everybody playing concerts in those days had to change their preset pistons many times during the course of a recital, because there was no solid state system.
So for the novice, the piston it's a pipe, isn't it? It controls
the piston is a device, a mechanical device that allows you, just like in a movie or in a live theater, there are presets for the lighting.
Yes.
It's the same thing is true. So I can set up the sounds that I want what we call a piston or a preset, so that when I get to that place in the music, I can hit that piston either with my hand, one of my fingers, or with one of my feet, and then that will change the sound to the new registration for the music that's
Now, where
about to unfold?
Where are the pistons that you can touch with your feet? I know where they on a regular organ. Uh-huh. You lean over and you are constantly adjusting these things. But
right.
What about your feet?
They're usually to the left and sometimes to the right of the swell boxes, which affect the degree of loudness on what we call enclosed divisions. But they're usually within reach of easy reach of your left foot or your right foot. But you have to balance at the organ is really
it's unbelievable
critical.
Yes, and I would imagine that of course the size of the organ changes and it, on any instrument one becomes. I mean, musicians carry their instruments around with them. I know pianists have a problem as well. But essentially, with the piano, it's not like the organ. Now, for our audience, how many the manuals are those the keyboards?
Yes, and this organ has four. Four manuals. The organ I play on week by week is two manuals. All of the issues of positioning of pistons and stops and all those things are very different the larger the instrument is. And so you really have to plan out, kind of map out carefully where your gestures are going to be to hit those pistons so that you can do it quickly, because they just have to take place in a split second.
Yeah, you have to, and you can't turn, you need a page turner if you're writing the music, that's for sure. It's really a terribly complicated concept. I imagine it, like any instrument, as you get to, as you're learning it, it becomes part of what you do. But, again, this constant change of the size of the organ, mm-hmm. I would think is extremely challenging.
Right, and then the location of those pistons varies from organ to organ, so sometimes
they're not on the right all the time or on the left.
Or the left, right. So you're constantly having to learn where those things are. But that's part of the wonderful challenge, I have to say.
Well, I'm glad you said it was wonderful, because it's a challenge is great, but that is really, I mean, to constantly be playing on a different instrument wherever mm-hmm. you go. Of course, that's where you concertize. Mm-hmm. And what is your schedule like? I mean, do you have a regular concert schedule every year?
Play concerts every year. I've cut back somewhat because I had neck surgery and back surgery and two shoulder surgeries within the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I had a spinal fusion 4 years ago, so I'm not traveling as much. I was playing up to around 20 or 22 concerts a year there for a while in the late 80s and the 90s, but I've cut way back now. I guess this year I may be playing 8 or 9, maybe 10 concerts. I don't remember exactly, but about one a month.
So there are occupational hazards, in all instruments. You do find, if you have been a musician for many, many years, things do develop. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, the demand of the instruments for an organist, there's a lot going on. It's not just your feet and it's not just your hands in one position, and it's a lot of strength involved as well, I would imagine.
Right. And really balance. I mean, you're, in a sense, you're floating. You're not balancing yourself
yes.
on the pedalboard with your feet.
Mm.
You're just sitting on the bench and kind of floating from the left to the right. or at least you're not grounded with your feet in any event. So that's
well, it's
always an issue for young organists to find their balance.
Oh, yes, I would imagine. Sure, because you're really not sitting. I mean, you're just kind of poised there, and everything has to be fluid when you're moving.
Right.
Your legs and the pedals, of course, again. Now, they're laid out like a piano, right?
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the bass tones, is that right?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm,
pretty much, and you're dancing. Do you play with shoes or without?
I play with tap shoes, with dancer shoes that have the taps taken off.
Well, I've seen organists with male organists with a, sometimes they'll wear a shoe with a little bit of a heel.
Mm-hmm. You have to really have that in order to play, because we play the pedals with our toes and our heels, and sometimes both at the same time. There's some pieces. In fact, the Locklear has a place where I'm playing two notes in one foot and two notes in the other foot.
I'm sitting here amazed. And as I say, you know, I mean, it's such a demanding thing. And again, you, as you play and as you study and as it becomes part of who you are, of course, it's all reaction, I guess, you know, I mean, that's what playing is. But once again, the challenge of the constant change of instrument, I would imagine, is one of the issues that you have to always consider. So now, again, you chose the music of Dan Locklear because I know you did an album, which was really quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. And have you ever commissioned any works yourself for organ?
I have not. I've played many commissions at national conventions of the American Guild of Organists. And actually, the Stephen Paulus piece was, I gave the first performance of that at the American Guild of Organists National Convention in Minneapolis, but I've not commissioned anything.
Are the demands of contemporary music, I know in a lot of instruments, the contemporary composers try to play around with the way the instrument sounds or how one produces a sound. I mean, that's kind of a new approach. Do they do that with the organ as well in the
yes.
music that you and
I'm not particularly in the works I'm playing, although Dan Locklear incorporates a pedal glissando at the end of the first piece. At the
yeah,
end of the
how
piece.
Do you do that?
on this particular piece, I put my left foot very high up on the pedal board and glissando, that is, play all the notes between.
Well, I'm a harpist, so, you know,
so
you're talking
know,
to a glissando.
Right.
Now, for us, it's easy.
Yeah, you have to do it with the bottom of your foot because it's easy to get your foot stuck if you don't have it exactly the right angle.
This particular
glissando goes from high F to low A flat, and then so it's
only in one direction.
an octave and a sixth, so it's a long glissando.
Now, what work is that?
It's the Phoenix Processional, the very first piece, the very last measure, or the penultimate measure actually has the glissando there are several glissandos in the coda, in the final part of the piece. It's really fun to do. I remember I was playing a piece by Dan Locklear from his suite Rubrics some years ago, and my father was listening to my practice, and he said, and I did multiple glissandos in that, and he said, "How do you do that?" So I brought him over to the organ so he could see what was going on.
Well, it's really quite amazing, and we have you playing that actually on this album, the music of Dan Locklear that has been released with you as soloist. So once again, this was recorded in Indianapolis on that Cassavant Frere organ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that a particularly large organ? Or
it is. It's a very large organ and a very beautiful one. It was installed, I guess, about maybe 4 years ago. I'm not exactly positive about that, but it's a beautiful instrument. And Dan had been wanting to have a recording made of some of his organ works. It's not certainly a complete performance of all his works. But
now, does he play the organ at all?
Mm-hmm, he does, and I think that also is why he writes so well for the organ. His music, I think, even though it's difficult in many of his works are very difficult rhythmically and so on, but he is an organist, and I think he just writes very well for the organ, and they're very accessible. I find his organ works very accessible to people who are not particularly trained in music. People seem to really respond to his music. It has, he has some very beautiful melodies and great rhythmic drive, rhythmic energy, and just very exciting music, I think.
What do you think the future is of, you know, organ recitals and concerts and so on? I mean, are you impacted by, once again, the technology? There is new technology that I think is probably employed in building organs.
Well, I think the organ has a great future. I think it's a fantastic instrument. It's just has such power and color and just great, great beauty. And I really am very hopeful about the future of the organ and the organists. We have a wonderful faculty at Indiana University at the moment and a thriving organ department. So it's, you know, I feel very hopeful about the future. I know that some organ companies are suffering from the economic downturn and the fact that a lot of churches can't afford to purchase new organs, but I feel very hopeful about the future of the organ.
Well, it certainly is a grand instrument. It's wonderful to speak with you about it and to hear your vantage point, where you can really, you know, judge and evaluate, I guess, where we are with the organ in contemporary life. But hopefully, as you say, there'll be more of it and more people playing it and more accessible, concerts, because the problem also is the location of the organ. And I guess, as you know, I mean, it's you've got to either go to a church or perhaps a concert hall that has one.
So, that's right.
Well, we certainly look forward to your coming to the Kimmel Center. And it was wonderful speaking with you. And I hope you'll release another album shortly.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time, Jill.
A pleasure.
I look forward to playing the organ very much.
And I hope to meet you there.
Great.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Okay.